This is a test of the emergency podcast system. Remember, this is only a test. Hi, my name is Randy, and I will be your host for this, my 87th episode of Infotainment. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. This is a last stop podcast shop on your internet dial. I would like to welcome each and every one of you to the program today. What I was thinking is that people should become a patron of this episode and a patron of four episodes that are on the Patreon website, patreon.com/infotainment. And I am thinking of doing as close as I can come to with audio, doing a stand-up comedy routine for Patreon, for patrons of the program to unlock. I'm not sure of the time. I'm still working on some material for it, but I will let you know here pretty soon when that will be posted. Well, let's stop, drop, and roll right into the program. For those of you who celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you had a good one. I did at my niece's, turkey, ham, and all the trimmings. It was a wonderful time with family. So hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving holiday. I'm not going to mention Christmas because I think that comes up too quick after. Let's get Thanksgiving over with and wait a little bit on the Christmas thing, but that's just mine. Maybe if I was married and with kids, the holidays would mean something a little more special to me. But for a lot of single people, it's a very depressing time. And that should be corrected somehow. But I do have a story about these people telling about their most unhinged Thanksgiving dinner in six words, and one person says, "Pissed off dad left to Mexico mid-meal." For many of us, spending time with our families can be challenging enough to enduring a regular day, much less during the holidays when the pressure to execute a perfect holiday can be overwhelming. The reality, not everyone handles this pressure with grace. Sometimes they screw up and consider it our fault. Who hasn't burned a turkey or had a little too much to drink, or maybe a lot too much to drink, and said something they shouldn't have? Other times we're innocent bystanders to the dysfunction. Contentious relatives, unruly pets, all-out food fights. What's more important is that we laugh about the insanity now, or at least walk away in one piece with a great story to tell. So these people asked friends and coworkers about their most unhinged Thanksgiving dinners, and here's what they said in six words. A clogged in-laws garbage disposal with carrots. It's from Tom 41. Family decided axe throwing was a new tradition. A little LARPing, I forget what that exactly stands for. LARPing is when they get all dressed up and fight with fake swords and all that sort of shit. But that's an interesting thing to do on Thanksgiving. And then the one where the pissed off dad left to Mexico mid-meal. I wonder if some alcohol was involved there. And and let's see, next we have grandma threatened grandfather with a turkey knife. Now, the seniors should not get in fights on Thanksgiving with knives of any sort. I did see a video on Ridiculousness, a show on MTV, where somebody had a video camera and they were asking the mother or grandmother what they're having for Thanksgiving, and she goes, "The same shit we have every year." That was kind of took aback, you know. And it didn't sound like she was in the most having the most holiday spirit of the day. Another one was turkey was still frozen at 5 p.m. Do not, what do they call it? Deep fry. Cause some explosion there. And next we have an uncle shot while turkey hunting. But he survived. Oh, that's a good thing. Brother was mad at sister, married a dope. And that summed up that Thanksgiving. Grandpa brought up abortion during dessert. Oh, boy. Yeah, there's nothing worse than can ruin a holiday or family gathering when there are fights about phone. Politics, religion, and money can lose you friends quicker than quicker than the Man of Steel, but because I have lost friends from all three of them, actually. And also I've lost friends because they got married and had no... Once people are married, the wives, early on, they put kind of a short leash on their husbands, and they don't get to see their single friends much anymore and want to be with only married couples. So, let's see. Next we have a blind uncle plunged hands into stuffing. Somebody should have helped him out there. I'm sure that was thrown out. Or maybe they used the 30-second rule or something and wiped his hands off and they still ate it. But let's see. Cooked turkey without knowing oven temperature. Well, that's not a good thing. Let's see. Trump discussion turned into family food fight. Well, they should have gotten Trump there to kind of settle that. Trump going in there probably would have said to the family members, "You're fired," and they would have to leave the food fight. I wonder what all was thrown. You know, you throw a big piece of turkey, it could injure somebody. And hopefully no plates or... dishes were thrown. Let's see. A brother stuck fork in dad's arm. Oh, what says Thanksgiving more than sticking your relatives with eating utensils? Jeez. That's got a good family relationship there. A brother stuck fork in dad's arm. What precipitated that? Sister spiked food with essential oil. Now would that potentially kill them, make them seriously ill? Essential oils. That's another person with some issues. Brother sawed off half his pinky. Well, that would warm up my appetite, seeing something like that for a Thanksgiving dinner. Brother sawing off half his pinky. Matt 37. I guess he's just reporting that. That's not the person who did that. Just people have some really mixed up family traditions. family feuds at Thanksgiving. Not a good thing. Well, let's glide into another topic for you, the podcast listener. Actually, I went on Twitter today, and here I see a post by none other than Jennifer Aniston. She goes, "Can you fall for a woman like me?" A nice picture of her there. And I pondered what I would respond to that. I said yes many times over, and then bumbled my way through it and asked her if she would ever consider doing a phone interview for this podcast. We'll see if the one in a billionth chance that she might actually see that post with a deluge of other responses. But I have received some responses from a few celebrities. One was from Katie Sackhoff, a Starbucks fame from Battlestar Galactica, deputy in the series Longmire, which should have ran a seventh season, in my opinion. But she basically said, well, her contract was up, and she was talking about her new show, and I said, well, I'd just as soon see a seventh season of Longmire on Netflix, but it's not to be, and I'm kind of over it now, so maybe I'll get interested in this new series she's working on for, I believe, Netflix. It's called Another Life. I believe that's what it's called. And also, I got a like from Holly Marie Combs, one of the three beautiful ladies from the series Charmed, which still plays on, I believe, TNT at times. She was in a picture with one of the other ones. I just said the power of two, and what was always the power of three on this show. And that was another response I got, just a like. It wasn't really anything special there, but it'll be interesting just to see if she even, Jennifer Aniston, even responds to that direct response I gave to her post. You know these people's names, and then they just fly out of your head, and when you're trying to think of them, oh my god, I can't think of her name. It's before the end of the program, I hope. But that was nice of Holly Marie Combs. And Alyssa Milano. There we go. I think it was a picture of her and Alyssa. And so I said the power of two. I like that show. I can't say much for the new one. I don't really watch it, but maybe it'll do well since it had a great first series. Let's see. Now, there's another thing I wanted to talk about. This is totally off the topic of getting celebrities to respond to your thing on Twitters, whatever. But it's these, I believe they're called hoverboards. They're like two wheels, and you stand on something, you stand on it like it's the size of your foot that you're stepping onto on each side, and there's no, you know, even a Segway is a lot more safe, I think, even though I've seen people wipe out on those too. But I wonder if the people that make these hoverboards have been sued for people that have broken bones. And I saw it on Ridiculous last night, and of course they're only showing the worst of the hoverboards, but it just, like, you should just rename it the broken bones board, because a lot of people that should have no business getting on one of these things to try and ride it, and 2 seconds later they're flat on the floor. Older people that I've seen on those things, but they look extremely dangerous. And Mike Tyson was a guest on Ridiculousness too. They had a video of him spinning around. He did a 360, a couple 360s on the thing, but then he was trying to go forward, and then he wipes out on I wonder if there's anybody who owns one of those that's actually stayed on that thing for 5 minutes without tipping over and falling pretty hard. Hopefully nobody has broken any bones riding one of those unsafe gadgets. Well, I think it's time to move on to another topic. 'Tis a season to be merry, jolly, and drunk. But here is one burning question. Which holiday movies are you watching this year? I just noticed tonight we had the Christmas movie Die Hard starring Bruce Willis. I know there's a lot of argument about that. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? And when it first starts, I see a lot of Christmas themes, Christmas music, Christmas trees. Somebody at a party kisses Bruce Willis on the cheek with a Merry Christmas, and he's whistling Christmas tunes. But on Comedy Central's Celebrity Roast, Bruce Willis was the honoree to be roasted, and he clearly explained that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. But take that as you will. I just love Christmas movies with a lot of gunplay and explosions and things. So I consider Die Hard to be a Christmas movie. But I also think my favorite Christmas movie is Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon, with Clark W. Griswold, played very well by Chevy Chase, who now kind of looks like the, it's kind of sad, he kind of looks like the Crypt Keeper, but it's been a lot of years since that time. So my favorite scene in that movie was when he was stumbling over his words with the very attractive counter help at the department store in the lingerie section, who seems to be a little bit interested, and he starts stumbling all over his words. I don't have a log. I mean, I have a log, but I don't mean I have a log in the sense that you have a log, and you'll, 'tis the season to be merry. She goes, well, that's my name. Well, so what are your favorite Christmas movies? I know Home Alone will show up somewhere. I didn't even know they made a Home Alone 3 with a different kid till the other day. I'm so out of touch with movies these days, since this town can't seem to put together a movie theater deal. And we do not have one. And my last movie experience was not very good, watching the latest Avengers movie Infinity War, where the guy says, well, I gotta drive to Wyoming tomorrow, and we're gonna start the movie a little early. And here the movie was filmed so dark, and it was still a little light out, and you couldn't hardly see anything what was going on. I particularly didn't care for it. I like Spider-Man Homecoming better, actually, because I kind of like Peter Parker's trying to get used to Tony Stark's mentoring and designing of his new advanced Spider-Man suit. That was kind of unique. He's just getting to be too, you know, I wasn't the biggest comic book guy growing up, and all these different characters and Guardians of the Galaxy. I remember seeing that movie and I thought, this isn't that great. And I think that movie was overblown, hyped. I can buy a lot of things in movies, but I never bought the talking raccoon. I don't know, I just didn't. Well, back to my original thing. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. As long as you can accept some gunplay and explosions.
Happy Holidays!
Merry Christmas to one and all. Well, let's now find another tantalizing topic for your podcast perusal. I was listening to the program on True TV Network that may be on your cable system. And I'll talk about the evil cable systems regarding the internet. Some of this might be common knowledge to some of you, and some of you may not know this. There are three cable companies that want to keep your internet slow by not increasing the bandwidth. And if we do not upgrade our fiber optic systems, our internet in America will remain in the middle of the pack, or maybe even less than most other developed nations in Europe, like Switzerland, France. They used South Korea as an example of the internet being there 8 times faster than in America, and they pay 1/10 the price. And that's because of competition. And there is some regulations that were passed that cities can't develop their own networks, and overseas in France, they mentioned that usually the people have 6 options. Since I live in a 7-floor apartment complex, I don't have the option for Dish. So basically, I have 2 options for internet. They were specifically talking about broadband access. I have the option of DSL and cable access to the internet. And also they were talking about Facebook, how that their product is actually you, the consumer. 1 in 6 people in the world has a Facebook page. And the information that Facebook and Google collects on you is enormous. As far as your likes, dislikes, and all that stuff, I'm sure a lot of you know this. But then it is sold to advertisers. And they said that the individual user advertising, that it pays off about $12 per user. So if we paid for Facebook like $12 a month or whatever, and it probably would not collect as much information on you. But everything you do is tracked. It's kind of a sad state of electronic affairs, and just more information out there for you to possibly get scammed with.
If you don't mind, I'd like to backtrack a little bit. The show I mentioned on True TV that had those facts about Facebook and how much faster the internet is in other countries and how less expensive it is. That's the show Adam Ruins Everything. And also when I was talking about Infinity Wars, not InfoWars, which has gone down the tubes, I guess. But I mentioned that the owner had to leave for Wyoming the next day. And it was one of the few drive-in movie theaters. And I should have asked for my money back for not being able to see. I could tell there were people in the shot, but not very well, because of the film being started so early and not really dark enough. Well, I've read and heard some of all the praises of Stan Lee after his death at 95 years old. Him and Steve Ditko and Jack Kirby, boy, did they have a vision. Whether Steve and Jack were paid adequately for it, that kind of remains unclear. But there's also some flap over what's the first drawing of Spider-Man. Well, actually, years before, there was a costume, a Halloween costume designed that looked like Spider-Man, and they did mention that. And there was a drawing that had Spider-Man like Mr. It looked like Superman in a Spider-Man outfit. And Stan said he didn't want that. He just wanted him to be, which was, I think, a good decision, that just kind of an everyday kid falling into the Spider-Man's web, the spider bite. But, you know, it's amazing how everyone becomes a saint once they die, which is not true.
Really and seriously, Randy, I think it's time to move on to another topic. You're getting a little out of pocket.
It is amazing what a little hexafluoride can do to a person's voice. See what I do for you, the listener, to put out a marvelous podcast. Speaking of Marvel and all things in the Marvel Universe, recently Marvel dropped its highly anticipated trailer for Avengers Endgame, which promises to be the climax of more than a decade of insanely profitable films. By noon Eastern, the YouTube video had gotten 10 million views. Virality? That's, virality. That's usually only achieved when a video game live streamer says something racist. But what is really going on in the trailer? What hints can we glean from its 145 seconds? What secrets lie in the brief glimpse of minor characters and bits of Marvel Universe ephemera? Let's investigate this together as we wring another precious piece of content out of the drippings from a Disney media empire that is consuming us all like an invisible world spanning squid. Enjoy. I won't play that, but if you've watched the trailer, which a lot of you have, and we open with a mask, very mysterious, evocative shades of how the Force Awakens used the Darth Vader helmet to allude to Star Wars legacy. I did see an interesting cartoon drawing, or like a picture of the Millennium Falcon with a Star Trek insignia on there. And some people laughed and some people were pissed off. Only in that case, the reference was so obvious, everyone got it. I'm already excited to see where this trailer goes. Well, two things I can glean from this. That Tony Stark has his implant still in his chest. You can see it in his wife beater t-shirt there when he's sitting against all that junk in the spacecraft he's in. And when he's standing by the window, you can see it glowing in his chest, which suggests to me that this is an alternate timeline concocted by who? I don't know, Ant-Man and Doctor Strange, or I don't know. It's your guess on that one. Maybe I'm totally full of shit on that, but I don't. Not sure. And I noticed that I thought he would be by now on a first name basis with Pepper Potts. He calls her Miss Potts. It's another sign that this is a different time. And what they say here, there's a lot of machinery and junk in the background indicating that we are probably in Robert Downey Jr.'s workshop where he built the Iron Man suit way back in the first Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. I'm not getting that at all, really. But, except now, wait, in the first few seconds, we get a major plot twist where it turns out that Iron Man is in space. How did he get there? Classic Marvel. I do believe it has something to do with the last Avengers movie where Spider-Man and Iron Man were battling Thanos. But who knows? Actually, hold on. But maybe he's not really in space and this is merely an establishing shot taking us to another location. Let me hit resume on this trailer, this guy goes. Nope, turns out that Iron Man really is in space. Wow, I'm already so excited for this movie. If you look closely, you see there's something glowing on his chest. That could mean a number of things according to the comics. Just as the mask was used to tease a presumably important character, this armor seems extremely significant. It could be even be a MacGuffin, that screenwriter slang for an object that multiple characters are trying to get their hands on, and thus drives the plot. Also, we're not in space anymore. This could be part of a dream sequence, but who is dreaming? And whose hand is that? Let me see where I'm seeing that. I don't know what they're talking about on that one, but I'll have to reload the trailer video. I'm going to say it's probably a human hand, but it could be an alien hand, too. Remember, Iron Man was in space, so aliens could be involved here. Chris Evans, Captain America, is crying as Scarlett Johansson tells him that Thanos wiped out 50% of all living creatures. This is, again, classic Marvel. Reminding you what happened in the past film. Presumably everyone we see in the trailer was not wiped out, meaning that we'll be seeing them in the upcoming movie. Here we're gifted with our glimpse of Scott Lang, aka Ant-Man, played by Paul Rudd, who was last seen in the after-credit sequence of Ant-Man and the Wasp, going to the subatomic realm with the assistance of the Pym family, who were all killed by Thanos' universe. Altering finger snap. Lang appeared stranded in the subatomic realm, but he wasn't killed by Thanos. This scene indicates that maybe the Avengers think that he is dead. If so, they're in for a shock. Idea who the old guy in this shot is. Let's see, old guy. Well, that looks like an incredible Mr. Hulk man. I don't know, maybe not. And then we see Chris Hemsworth, and damn, it looks like his eye is kind of effed up. And that looks like the prison cell thing that they were all in for. I don't know. I gotta watch Civil War again. I didn't watch all of that about the Accords or whatever they were all fighting about, and when Captain America was fighting Iron Man, that the Winter Soldier Bucky was involved in his. Tony's parents' death and all that, but maybe I have that wrong too, but that's what I got and what I watched of it. Let's see, and now we have another badass character, and that is Hawkeye. You can tell by he or she has got a knife with like weird holes in it. I don't see a quiver and arrows. He or she is cutting themselves with a knife or wiping blood off it. Well, there's a dead guy in the street that looks like he was killed by it. I would assume he's wiping blood off that. Their back is to the camera, which is Universal Cinema language for You are not going to fucking believe who it turns out this character is. Example, remember in Star Wars when you never knew who Darth Vader was beneath his mask the whole time and it turned out he was some old guy at the end. Legendary. Boom, identity revealed. It's a minor Marvel Universe character played by Jeremy Renner. Minor Marvel. I thought he had a little more to do with it than that, but no crossover Marvel event would be complete without a reference to Agent Carter, the second most popular Marvel show to ever air on ABC. Captain America keeps a locket with her picture in it. Will Captain America finally avenge? Get it? He's an Avenger. Fans were wondering what the title of the fourth Avengers movie would be, because Marvel either kept that under wraps or hadn't decided yet. Well, they decided. Endgame. Does this mean that this is the last Marvel movie ever? At least for the Avengers, or for everyone. Maybe Robert Downey is getting sick of playing it, or they all are. You can't blame them if they do. They've done a lot for it. So, and in this amusing post-title sequence, we get Lang again, Paul Rudd, knocking on the door of the Avengers complex. Could Ant-Man provide the Avengers with the key to defeating Thanos? Maybe by using the subatomic realm to travel back in time or inside the Soul Stone, where it's possible those killed by Thanos' snap are imprisoned. Or is it just a bit of comic relief? I guess we'll find out. More from the Marvel Universe. Wiped out. I thought they would, not being a total Marvel head and knowing every little detail about Marvel that I should, at least for this segment of the podcast, I thought when he snapped that these people were dead, but supposedly they are trapped, and I guess we'll find out next year when the movie releases. Maybe I will have a better experience watching this movie than I did at the drive-in for the last Avengers movie. But hopefully it's a good one. And I hope that they keep up movies. But, you know, they've definitely put their time in on these things, so who can blame them if they want out? Well, since I canceled my subscription to CBS All Access, I will just end this podcast by saying, let's call Red Alert and warp drive this to the interwebs and keep listening for updates on my comedy thing for Patreon, if you'd like to listen to 4 episodes you might not have heard. It's patreon.com/infotainment. You can look at my Facebook page under infotainment. You can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster and email me at randyms12@gmail.com. So I will just say goodbye, children, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye, folks.